Good morning, everyone.
I used to be a beggar and a slave, begging for forgiveness, enslaved by sin's chains. Then you came and you ransomed me. You paid the price for me to be set free. Now I no longer am the same. I'm a new creation. The old has passed away. And I have your very life in me, controlling, guiding, and protecting me. Paid in full, you paid in full. Not with gold or silver, not with precious jewels. You purchased my redemption. Sin no longer rules with your life paid in full. When I look upon the cross where they nailed you to that tree, I'm in awe of what it is I see. What others see, a bloody mess, the magnitude I must confess is how one so perfect could become sin for me. Paid in full, you paid in full. Not with gold or silver, not with precious jewels. You purchased my redemption. Sin no longer rules with your life paid in full. You paid in full, you paid in full. Not with gold or silver, not with precious jewels. You purchased my redemption. Sin no longer rules with your life paid in full.
So good to have you back. Matt Schultz is no substitute for you. He'll do in a pinch. Right, Matt? Thank you for filling in. Anyway, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your great grace and mercy. Your mercy that endures forever, Psalm 136. You say 26 times your mercy endures forever. And that though we were dead in our sins and trespasses, you made us alive in Christ Jesus. And now we're dead to sin and its impulses. We were dead to sin and its trespasses. Sin and trespasses. Now, sin and its impulses. We're dead to sin and its impulses. We thank you for these things. Bless the word of God as it goes forth this morning for the honor and glory of your Son and our Savior, our dear Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In his name we pray, amen. Sunday, May 30th, 2021, his mercy endures forever, Ephesians 2:1-8. Let's get a cracking because I got a lot of stuff to cover. Ephesians 2:1. Turn there, please. Did I say it's Sunday, May 30th, 2021? If I didn't, that's what it is. End of May, Memorial Day weekend. I hope it creates some wonderful memories for you. Ephesians 2:1. Kai. What's Kai mean? K-A-I. Yeah, right. See how much you know from the Greek? Kai. And humos. You. You all. You all. It's Southern. Paul was a Southerner. He said y'all. And y'all. Then we use the verb, the participle, present active participle of I, me, which would be, in the English, being, being. It's be with ing, being. He says, and you, being dead, necrus. You're dead. And you, all of you, being dead. What's he mean? When Christ died, you died, because he died as you. For you, instead of you. His death is your death. We identify with his death. And we're plunged into it by the Holy Spirit. That's what baptism is. Baptized into his death. Completely identified with the death of Christ. You're a dead person. Therefore, sin doesn't have any power over you anymore. It only has power over living people, not dead people. In a spiritual sense, you're dead to sin and its impulses. Once you figure out that they're lying to you and that they're not even real, they're just feelings. You know, feelings aren't real. They're very deceptive. They don't think. There's no thought involved in emotion or feeling. That's why you don't walk by sight or by feeling, but you walk by faith. And you walk according to the word of God. You have to become very objective. And when you are, and if you are, and when you are, people won't understand you, granted. But that's the risk that you have to take. In agreeing with God in categories of truth in the word of God. That's what you do. To most people, it's so offensive that they don't ever want to align with it. It's too offensive. The word of God is. He said, so are you. Well, that's from the word of God in my soul, hopefully, and it's not just because I'm offensive as a person. But he offends us right out of, he offends the hell out of you. That's what he does. Because that's what it's about. You know, it's hell's influence on mankind and human society. And we need the word of God to do that. Let me ask you a question. How many of you, don't raise your hand, please don't do it. How many of you put an hour of quality time each day into the word this week? That's what I do. That's what pastors do. They ask you questions, probing questions. I know some of you didn't. You should have. Why? Because it would have really improved your circumstance situation this week if you had. You'd have had your mindset on things above. How many of you, the moment that you awake, put your mind and your thoughts and your soul on an elevator and send them up so that you think about heavenly things first thing in the morning before you ever think of earthly things? Yea, even coffee, making coffee. I got one of those pots where you set it the night before, so you don't have to make it in the morning. And so I can think about the word as soon as I wake up. And for pastors, there's a different standard. It's a higher requirement. I have to go 3, 4, 5, 6 hours. But you don't. Just an hour each day. Try it. Your life will improve greatly. Ask Ty. Ask Greg. They're in the word all day long. Has your life ever been better, Greg? No comparison, is it? How about you, Ty? Lynette, has it ever been better? Remember how it used to be? Me too. Get that word every day. I'm here to encourage you to do so. Okay, enough of that. And you being dead in your trespasses. You know what trespasses are? Parapipto. It means, trespass means to fall aside, to veer off course, to deviate from the right path, or to go the wrong way. He said, that's illegalistic to say you need an hour of the word every day. Okay, you can consider it that if you want to, and then you can have, you know, just a normal, natural life and have all kinds of unnecessary problems in life. I'm just trying to get you not to have to do that, I'm trying to spare you. Anyway, so parapipto, don't leave the path. Stay on the path. See, wherever the no trespassing signs were posted, that's where you used to go. That's why I call them trespasses. And, hi, come on in. Trespasses, see? You're trespassing. Wherever the no trespassing signs were posted, that's where you would go. That's where you used to go. Next, he says, and sins, trespasses and sins. Sins is hamartia. Hamartia means to miss the mark. Really, it means to miss the target altogether. You're shooting, but you missed the target. You hit something else, did some damage. The target is doing a right thing in the right way for the right reason and at the right time. Has to be all of those. If it doesn't satisfy all those criteria, it's not right. It's not. Doing the right thing in the right way for the right reason at the right time. But the shot that people make and take misses the target. And because something wasn't right, that is, timing, technique, motive, means or method wasn't right. So it's not right. Faith is the mark, and sin misses the mark by the natural occurrence of worry, fear, insecurity, doubt, pessimism, naysaying, negativity, ingratitude, complaint. How about resentment? Ruin your life. Selfish ambition, inordinate competition, always got to do better, be better, or get one up on somebody. Anger, envy, or strife. Do I need to read those again? Here they are. So you could pick the ones that are your problem. Worry. That's very, very common. Fear, insecurity, doubt, pessimism, naysaying. That's always taking negative position or negativity. Ingratitude. That's a killer. Complaint of any kind. Resentment, selfish ambition, inordinate competition, anger, envy, or strife. See, whether you were a moral or immoral person before salvation, you lived a life of sin. You thought the wrong things. You watched and listened to the wrong things. You hung out with the wrong people. You made all the wrong choices, went to the wrong places, and did all the wrong things. Wrong, 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 wrong. Nothing right about wrong. Two wrongs make a wrong, a wronger wrong. Never made a right. You thought, chose, and did wrong things, and you were a sinner. The comprehensive or all-encompassing definition of sin is found in Romans 14:23. And you have to think about this in order to understand what is involved and what's being said. Romans 14:23. whatsoever is not out from faith is sin. Oh, that makes a lot of things sin, doesn't it? Wow. There are other verses that add weight for understanding to the concept. Proverbs 21:4 says, haughty eyes, that means a proud look. By the way, that's what God hates more than anything. In Proverbs 6:16, what's it say? It says, six things the Lord hates, seven are an abomination to him. That sounds like an important verse, doesn't it? The first one is a proud look. Looking down your nose at someone. Haughty eyes here is the same thing. Haughty eyes, a proud heart. Taking credit for everything you have and everything you do. Why, you're better than other people. Which isn't so, but you think it is. And evil actions are all sin. Haughty eyes, a proud heart, and evil actions are all sin. Or Proverbs 24:9, the thought of foolishness or futile thinking is sin. You think you can do something or be something, accomplish something that would satisfy or please God. You're a fool. You can't. You say, I don't like the way you're preaching. Too bad. Then leave. 1 Corinthians 15:56. The sting of death is sin. What's that mean? It means you better hope a stinger doesn't get you by never believing in Christ and then die. That's the sting of death is sin. And the strength of sin is in the law. You better hope that you come to understand that you can't keep the law. You can't do it. And the first time you fail, you're ruined for life. There's no forgiveness under the law. None. There's sacrifices that look forward to the forgiveness provided by Christ on the cross. But there isn't any in the law, not by doing or making up for the bad you did by doing good. Nope, you're in a vicious cycle. Or James 4:17. I like this one. Therefore, if someone knows to do good and doesn't do it, to him it's sin. Not only sins of commission, doing wrong things, but added to it, the sins of omission or not doing right things. If you would go to Home Depot and by mistake walk out with $165 of merchandise, as I did last week, and later realize what you did, you'd have to go back and pay for the stuff. Right? Have to. I thought about not doing it, but then I said, forget it. I'll go back and pay for it. It was raining. It poured down rain, so I had to. And I ran out to my car and put a 5-gallon bucket of fence stain in the car with some other things I bought. I said, I better go back. Then when I got to Walmart, I said, I better go back and pay for it. And I did. So you can know your pastor went back and paid for his stuff. 1 John 5:17. All unrighteousness is sin. All of it. See, the old man, the one you used to be, the person you used to be before you believed in Christ, now you're a new creature. 2 Corinthians 5:17. The old man is a sinner through and through and cannot do a thing about it. All that he thinks, chooses, does, and doesn't do is sin. Got it? Okay, we'll move on. Ephesians 2:2. Then he says, let's get one again. He says, and you were dead in your trespasses and sins. And he says, in which formerly is the word pote, formerly, you walked around. See, that is who you were, but not who you are. Now, such were some of you. 1 Corinthians 6:11, Paul says, such were some of you, but you were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and in the Spirit of our God. Who and what you were was crucified, died, and was buried when Christ was. Who and what you are now and forever was raised, ascended, and is seated in the heavenlies with Christ, who died and rose for you, even as you, and therefore you are as he is. Or, as he is, so are we in this world. In 1 John 4:17, that's what it says. As he is, so are we in this world. New creatures, with all that is old removed and replaced with entirely new things. Not sinful things, righteous things. 2 Corinthians 5:17. A new life, a new identity, and a new destiny. A new way of walking, talking, and living. No longer living for oneself, but for Christ, who bought us, paid a dear price to redeem us. 1 Corinthians 6:19 and 20. 2 Corinthians 5:15, he died for all, so that they who live might no longer live for themselves. I don't know if you've come to the end of living for yourself, but there's no real happiness or satisfaction in it. But for him who died and rose again on our behalf. Philippians 1:21, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. No fear of death there. No fear of life or death. Some people are afraid to live, and just about everybody's afraid to die. And the stinger's been taken out of death. So we shouldn't be afraid anymore. So he says, in which formerly you walked around. What do you mean walked around? Walked around on the earth, conducted your life on earth. Then he says, according to the age, the aeon of this world. What's he talking about? He's talking about the trends of this world, the invisible standards, maxims, slogans of the world that you're supposed to believe, the trends, the demands, and the dictates of the spirit of the age. Don't say anything that's not politically correct today about people, places, or things. Because, first of all, you'll lose your job if you have anything to do with the public. If you say anything against the prevailing zeitgeist or spirit of the age that controls the minds of the masses by the one called the prince of the power of the airwaves. He's behind it all. You have to be able to identify that. We're not ignorant of Satan's devices, unless you don't think he's real. And if you don't, he got you. Romans 12:2. Be not conformed to this world. Don't do it. But be transformed by the renovation of your thinking. That is, by the word of God. By letting the mind of Christ be in you, letting this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. We have the mind of Christ. 1 Corinthians 2:16. And Philippians 2:8. So, Galatians 6:14. Paul says, as for me, God forbid that I should boast about anything except the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because of that cross, my interest in this world died long ago with him. And the world's interest in me is also long dead. That's the New American, or the New Living Translation. 1 John 2:15 says, don't love the world, nor the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, the boastful pride of life, is not from the Father, but belongs to the world system and the god of this world, who is Satan himself, the devil. Next it says, it says, according to the age. You formerly walked around according to the age of this world. And he says, according to the ruler. We have archon, which means ruler. That is the one who has control, the one who takes control, the ruler of the authority of the A-E-R, the air, or the atmosphere. Satan is a spirit who inhabits the atmosphere surrounding the earth and uses it to diffuse his all of his false ideas, propaganda, and disinformation throughout the world, which people with empty souls, in matiotes, or the vacuum of the soul, suck it in and become mouthpieces and advocates of satanic thought and overly sensitive to anything that's true. It's offensive to them, terribly offensive. So it's the prince of the power of the air, that is the spirit that now is energizing inside. That's got sucked it in. That's inside. The sons of apathy. Yours says the sons of disobedience, but the word is apathia, where we get the word apathy. They're the sons of apathy, blinding their minds, as Satan does. 2 Corinthians 4:4 is the god of this world who blinds men's minds, making and keeping them apathetic. That is, where urgent, important, eternal matters are concerned, there's nothing worse than apathy, which is reckless indifference, which is sure to destroy their lives and defile many others. Indeed, that was the condition in which the Lord found us and called us to himself in order to save us from ourselves and our irresponsible and foolish ways. And we are ever mindful of that and grateful for that, that he rescued us. In Ephesians 2:3 next. That was 2:2. This is 2:3. It says, among them, that's where you lived among them. Also, we all formerly, there's the word pote again, not anymore, used to, not anymore. You formerly, then we have the word anastrepho, which means conducted our lives. Conducted our lives by principles that we lived by. Conducted our lives, principles that we lived by. And he says, in the epithumia, which is the lust, in the lust of our flesh, our bodies. That is the signals that our bodies send to the mind. And then the mind gives in to those fleshly desires, needs, or lusts. And they're not real. They're mere impulses, phantom impulses. That's all they are. Like the phantom limb syndrome. Cut off your hand and you'll think you still have it until you look in the mirror. You had to look in the mirror of the Word of God to see what happened. That day, April 4th, 30 AD, when Christ died as you, instead of you, to see what he did for you there, which is declared by the Word of God. Please do it quick. We run there and stay there all the time. So he says, the lusts of our flesh, doing the will, philema, not the will of God, but our will. We say, nevertheless, my will, not yours, be done, Lord. Instead of nevertheless, not mine, but yours, be done, as Jesus said and prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane. Doing the will of the flesh, sarx is the flesh, and the mind, the dianoia, your mind. You're thinking the wrong things and doing the wrong things. You're thinking you have to fulfill or gratify what the body's telling you to do. The body can't make decisions. The mind, the soul makes decisions. The volition of the soul makes decisions, not the body. So stop listening to what the body says. So he says, doing the will of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature. You were by nature, by phusis. nature. The children of wrath, that's orge, gods of wrath, you're ready to be destroyed. You're ripe for destruction, even as the rest. Therefore, no one is without hope, because that's where you were, and God rescued you. So no one is without hope. If he saved you, he can save anyone. Have you come to that conclusion? Or do you still say he'll never save him, or he'll never save her, they'll never be saved? Well, that's what they said about you. And I can hardly believe that he did save you, or me. It's hard to imagine that I can say, I know for sure I'm going to heaven when I die. Why? Because you did something? No, because God did, because Christ did, because he died for me. And guess what? That's quite a price he paid. Quite a thing he's done. So, remember, no one can come to him. This is mysterious. This is the mystery. No one can come to him unless the Father drags him. The word's helko, where it says draws him. It means way more than draws. It means drags. It's like they dragged the fishing nets full of fish out of the sea. They dragged it up onto the shore. No one can come to me unless my Father who sent me drags him, and I will raise that one up on the last day. Or John 6:65. And he was saying, for this reason I have said to you, no one can come to me unless it has been granted him from the Father. You have to have permission from the Father. Or 1 Corinthians 1:29, so that no man may boast before God, it is his doing that you are in Christ Jesus. So that just as it is written, let him who boasts, boast in the Lord. John 15:16. You did not choose me, Jesus told his disciples. I like this, because we think that we chose him. I believed in him, but did I choose him? No, you didn't choose him. But I chose you. I chose you. Don't try to figure it out. Just thank him that it's so. It's certainly not because you're better than other people, because you must know that by now, but that's not so. It's because God is glorified by taking losers and making them more than conquerors through him that loved us. That's why. You can boast in that. In Romans 8:37 and 39. By grace and mercy. Charis is grace. Ilios is mercy. Undeserved, unearned, unmerited. Goodness, kindness, favor, and blessing. Made acceptable because of the merits of Christ. As our surrogate substitute who died for us, as us, instead of us, in order to save us from utter destruction. So if anybody's not sure about their salvation, you too can be one of us by believing in Christ. Right now, right where you are, call upon him and be saved. There's the message for you if you've never believed in Christ. Romans 4:25, he was delivered over because of our trespasses and was raised for our justification. That's the imputation and installation of perfect divine righteousness, which takes care of the salvation issue. Now Ephesians 2:4. We're making great progress this morning. And he says, here, we'll just read it over one more time real quick. Ephesians 2:1, and you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you formerly walked around and conducted your life, according to the prince of the power of the air, the one who works in the sons of disobedience. And he saved you from a fate worse than death. Verse 2:4 says, but God, being rich in mercy, I love the word mercy, it's Elios, E-L-E-O-S, transliterated from the original Greek, Elios. It's an important word. It's a technical, spiritual term. Being rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us. It starts out with but, and it's the word duh. He says, but God, being rich, plutos, plusios, in Elios, in mercy. God being rich in mercy. In Luke 18:10, two men went up to the temple to pray. You don't have to look this up. I'll just read it to you quickly. Two men went up into the temple to pray. One was a Pharisee, you know, a religious guy, a pastor, a teacher, a priest. And the other was a stinking tax collector, the scum of the earth. The Pharisee stood and was praying this to himself. You think he was praying to God, he's praying to himself. God's not listening to this prayer, this guy's prayer. He says, God, I thank you that I am not like other people. Swindlers, the unjust, adulterers, or like this tax collector. Imagine that. That's his prayer. Woo! Be afraid of that one. I fast twice a week. I'm so devoted. I pay tithes of all that I get. But the tax collector, standing some distance away, was even unwilling to lift up his eyes to heaven, but was beating his breast, saying, God be merciful to me, the sinner, the sinner. I tell you, this man went to his house justified. He did, rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. Elios is mercy in Koine Greek. Some say mercy is grace in action, and it is in one sense, but that's not exactly correct. Whereas grace is God giving undeserved blessing and unearned free favor, mercy is God withholding the negative consequences of sin. Grace is giving good things. Mercy's holding back the bad things. That's a good way to remember it. This he's able to do because Christ became our mercy seat. Hilasterion. There was a mercy seat on top of the ark. That's where the blood was applied. Which certainly bespeaks the suffering of Christ. His substitutionary spiritual death. His deaths upon the cross have paid for every aspect of sin, sins, and all sin nature issues. 1 John 2:2. He is the hilasterion. He is the mercy seat, the propitiation for our sins. Not ours only, but for the sins of the whole world. It was by mercy that God saved you. And mercy rejoices against judgment, James 2:13, you know that. God would much rather be merciful than to judge. And the only time he judges is if he refuses mercy. We spurn his kindness and his mercy. And in the end, he'll have to judge because he's just after all. God is glorified in judgment, but the glory of mercy is greater. And by it, God is incomparably magnified and glorified, shown to be good, kind, and more than generous in dealing with mankind. Think of what he's done for you, how he saved you, preserved you, and provided for you, and how you could not deserve it any less. That is merci beaucoup. People say, thank you very much, which I translate as abundant mercy. You say it once. I'll say it 26 times, as the psalmist did in Psalm 136. Psalm 136, turn to the middle, go right to the middle of your Bible and open it up, and you'll be just shy to the left side of 136. Are you there? This will take the rest of the message, I'm sure. Psalm 136. I love when it says, Oh, give thanks. See, why was David a man after God's own heart? In case you've forgotten this, I've said it many times over the years. I want to tell you one more time. Because God looks upon the heart, not upon the outward appearance. In David's case, the Lord was thrilled with David's heart. For the Lord does not judge you, as he did in David, according to the chronicles of your life, but rather the psalms of your heart. And you say, is there a difference or difficult? Is there a disconnect there? Oftentimes, but God sees right through that, sees past it. And because of Christ, accepts it. So have a heart after God, or be a man or woman after God's own heart. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord Jesus Christ, for all that he's done. The Lord is always the Lord Jesus Christ, Old Testament or New. He's Yahweh in the Old Testament. He's Jesus in the New Testament. For he is good. That's called understatement. Oh, yes, he is. For his mercy endureth forever. That means there is no end to his mercy. The amount of it and the duration of it. Oh, give thanks unto God, the God of all gods. You think there's another God? There are no other gods. Well, there's the God of this world. And he said, I called you gods, to whom the word of God has come, and the scriptures cannot be broken. In John 10:35. But only in one sense, not in another. But he's the God, capital G-O-D, of all little G-O-D-S. For his mercy endureth forever. No one better, no one greater. Oh, give thanks to the Lord of Lords. That was the God of gods, the Lord of Lords, for his mercy endures forever. To him who alone does great wonders, for his mercy endures forever. To him that by wisdom made the heavens, for his mercy endures forever. To him that stretched out the earth above the waters, for his mercy endures forever. Think about what he's done here on the earth. This earth is a magnificent place. And will be restored one day, remade, and endure forever because of mercy. Not because of policies of climate change or measures to combat global change or warming or cooling, whatever it is this week. No question about it, the earth's wearing out. But not because of that. You have to get the full picture from Scripture. So the sun, he says, next he says, to him that stretched out the earth above the waters, to mercy endure forever, to him that made great lights, that is all the celestial planets reflect light. For his mercy endured forever. The sun to rule by day, for his mercy endured forever. The moon and the stars to rule by night, for his mercy endures forever. And there's gospel in those as well. Gospel in the stars, in the heavens. To him that smote Egypt in their firstborn, for his mercy endures forever, and brought out Israel from among them, for his mercy endures forever. Therefore, Israel is not consumed. With a strong hand and a stretched out arm, for his mercy endured forever, used at the pummel Christ on the cross. To him which divided the Red Sea into parts, for his mercy endured forever, and made Israel to pass through the midst of it, for his mercy endures forever, but overthrew Pharaoh and his host in the Red Sea, for his mercy endures forever. To him which led his people through the wilderness, for his mercy endures forever. To him which smote great kings, for his mercy endures forever, and slew famous kings, for his mercy endures forever. I wonder what's being emphasized here. Oh, his mercy, which endures forever. Sion, king of the Amorites, for his mercy endures forever, and Og, the king of Bashan, for his mercy endures forever. You think people have power? They don't. And gave their land for a heritage, for his mercy endures forever. Palestinians are not entitled to the Gaza Strip. They're going to come after me. because I said that, belongs to Israel. It's titled to Israel. Even a heritage unto Israel his servant, for his mercy endureth forever, who remembered us in our low estate, for his mercy endureth forever. Thank God. And has redeemed us from our enemies, for his mercy endures forever, who gives food to all flesh. He feeds you every day. You say, no, I feed me every day. Well, he lets you have the food that you need. For his mercy endures forever. Oh, give thanks unto the God of heaven, for his mercy endures forever. Get it? Got it? Let's go. In Hebrew, the word for mercy is chesed. Chesed. Also translated loving kindness, tender mercy, in some instances, which is equal parts grace and mercy, chesed is, versus ilios and charis from the Greek. Saved by grace, indeed we are, and equally by mercy, which removes the threat of punishment. In any event, all due to Jesus Christ, our gracious and merciful Savior. Paul elaborates, telling Titus, and by telling Titus, he instructs all church-age pastor teachers, because he's a prototype pastor teacher, Titus is, who must know these things in order to impart them to his congregation. In Titus 3:3, he says, for we also once were foolish ourselves, disobedient, deceived, enslaved to various lusts and pleasures, spending our life in malice and envy, hateful, hating one another. But when the kindness, that's Christotes, kindness, also a derivative of the word charis from grace. Kindness of God our Savior and his love for mankind appeared. He saved us not on the basis of deeds, which we have done in righteousness, not because of our righteous deeds, but according to his mercy spared us. By the washing of regeneration, born of the water, washed by the word, water of the word, and the renewing of the Holy Spirit made us a brand new creature, whom he poured out upon us richly through Christ Jesus our Savior, so that being justified by his grace, we would be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Here again, grace is the gift of righteousness, and mercy the forgiveness of sins and trespasses, of sins and their consequences. Both equally and simultaneously engaged in our salvation. Then he says, through or because of his great love with which he loved us, that is you and me, us. This is very personal. It's meant to be. He loves you. Indeed he does. So Ephesians 2:5 then, and we'll wrap this up very shortly. He says, when, which is locative, which means it's chi, but it's locative, so it means it locates you. When, where and when, where or when. When we, being dead, you were dead, that is, in the trespasses, in your trespasses, your peripipto, I already told you, drifted away, drifted off course, and headed toward the reefs of destruction. In our trespasses, he made us alive in Christ. For by grace you are having been saved. What? That's how it actually reads in the original Greek. This is very important. And on Tuesday night, I'll show you how what I taught in the past is wrong about this passage, and about 2:8. And 9. It's wrong. Absolutely wrong. Why? Well, because faith and grace are feminine, and that being the gift of God is neuter. So it's salvation is the gift, not grace and faith. Faith is your response, and grace is God's doing. So that's how it works. It's not, faith is not the gift. Grace is not the gift as such. Salvation is the gift. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord, Romans 6:23. Terry, did you ever see that? Did you figure that out? We say, oh, that's no, it's the gift. No, it can't be. It has to agree in gender, and it doesn't. That being the gift of God. So we'll see that in 8. We'll do that on Tuesday. Anyway, so Having been saved, it's the perfect passive participle. Having been saved at once in a moment of time, once and for all and forever. Not by you, but by him. It's passive where you're concerned. Having been saved is perfect. Passive participle of sozo, to be saved. You were dead in your sins and trespasses. Now you're dead to sin and its impulses. Check out Romans 6. That's your assignment. Romans 6, the whole thing. 23 verses. That's your assignment for Tuesday. Romans 6. Write it down. It's your assignment for Tuesday. Read it over and over and over again. Let the Lord bring the truth into meditation so you can understand exactly what he's saying. All these things are founded there. If you don't have that foundation, you can't build on it. With these things, with the mystery doctrine of Ephesians, you can't without Romans 6. So that's your assignment. Romans 6. It tells you what God did to sin, sins, and all sin nature issues, gathered, summoned, downloaded, imputed, punished, and expiated all of them in one afternoon, April 4th, 30 A.D. You can say, well, maybe it was April 5th. It could have been. I don't know. I say April 4th, 30 A.D. because it puts a date on it, a good one, close to the actual date. Once again, by these things, we have an opportunity to certify our salvation, ditch all doubt. And that's what we need to do. There's people that doubt all the time. If you are saved by believing in Jesus Christ as God and Savior, then you're saved forever. Saved, safe, and eternally secure. I hope you know that. Let there be no more doubt. And mark the day. You know what day it is today? It's Sunday, May 30th, 2021. So I hope this resonates with someone this morning. That's as far as we're going to go today. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for all these wonderful things. Thank you for your mercy, your grace and mercy, for your great love with which you loved us, for your grace and mercy that endures forever. Let us never forget, it's all you're doing. And we can't even come to Christ unless you drag us there. And you did in your great faithfulness to demonstrate how good and how kind and how righteous you truly are. We thank you for all these things. If I could have my ushers, please, Vicky, if you would get ready. Father, bless the offering today also. May it be used for your purpose to help someone today. In Jesus' name, amen.